This is Dom Bettinelli, the CEO of SQPN, with a brief but very important message. For more than a decade, SQPN has produced the Catholic faith and pop culture podcasts that you love. We're a nonprofit organization, so it's only your generosity that lets us carry out our mission. We haven't run a fundraiser in 2 years, and that's why we need to ask for your help right now. Please make a pledge of whatever amount you can afford to help us continue providing your favorite podcasts, as well as exciting new ones we have planned. To make your pledge and find out about the free thank you gifts we'd like to send you, visit sqpn.com/give. That's sqpn.com/give. Thank you for your generosity. May we hear from you today?
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode 22, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Howdy all, and welcome to our weekly episode of Let's Talk, our SQPN community podcast. Father Corey Stika here with you again. We got a couple of good panelists. We got one who he really keeps showing up. I think he really likes being here.
Of course, Dom Bettinelli's with
it. Yeah, like a bad Benny. No, just our schedule worked out that we had a couple of weeks in a row where Dom was here. So we're glad to have you again, Dom. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Father Corey. I'm glad to be back.
Well, always glad to have you here. And then our other panelist is a new voice, at least for Let's Talk. Why don't you tell us about yourself, Barb?
Hi, I'm Barb Gilman, also known across all social media channels as Barb in Nebraska, and longtime SQPN fan. Father Roderick was the one who started me on Twitter back in 2007. And I'm a Catholic school teacher. I've been teaching third grade at St. Margaret Mary's in Omaha, Nebraska.
Wow.
Oh, wonderful. So how long have you been a teacher?
Well, altogether 23 years. I did take a break when my children, my three sons, were little. But awesome. I'm back in it full time.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Now, have you always been a Catholic teacher or?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I have slowly come to the realization that that is my vocation.
Oh,
wife,
that's awesome.
Mother, and Catholic school teacher. I have realized that God has called me to be a teacher in the Catholic schools.
Well, wonderful. And of course, that's kind of what we brought you on, is to talk about Catholic education, and also to talk about how you're using some of the social media. But we'll start first with talking about Catholic education. You know, why is Catholic education so important? You know, I mean, isn't it just another school? Just happens to be run by the Catholic Church.
No, it is our four pillars here at St. Margaret Mary School. We are building our children in faith, conscience, scholarship, and service. So those are the four main things we work at. And faith is number one. And I believe that Catholic schools are now also promoting that. In the past, I think they kind of just wanted to make it as, you know, another school, another choice for families. But now they're really getting into, this is what we're all about. And I am very grateful to be able to do that and help lead my students, eventually lead them to heaven.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, because I've had the privilege, my first assignment was in a parish with a Catholic school, and it was such a joy to be able to go over there. And I would teach religion class, and I would, of course, go over for recess or lunch once in a while, and, you know, to spend time with the kids. But what, you know, is faith really the biggest reason why we have Catholic schools? Because, I mean, I think a lot of people, they look at Catholic schools as just a private school. You know, it's got to be better than the public school because it's private and we pay for it, right?
Well, I think that they should realize it is for the faith. Everything I do all day, you walk into my classroom and every single subject, we always are referring back to our faith. My whole room, it looks like a Catholic classroom. I have saint statues. I have, I love the saints. So I have the saint pictures. Working with children and giving them that good core is something we work with our parents, of course, their parents. And it's something that is just so needed in today's world, having that base for our children.
Yeah. You know, by the way, you know, one of the things historically that I recall with regard to Catholic education is, you know, there was a time when even public schools had faith in them, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes, but it was a Protestant faith that was being taught in the public schools. And my understanding is Catholic schools kind of arose up as a way for parents to have a place to send their kids where they could receive the Catholic education. They wouldn't necessarily even be, in some places, because I know in Boston, they could be discriminated against for being Catholic and not Protestant, which was the dominant religion at the time.
Right.
And over time, I think in many places, as the public schools became secularized, or you know, the faith got kind of stripped out of them, I think there was a time when Catholic education kind of, not that it was stripped of faith, but that the focus went more toward the academic achievement. But it's nice to see, actually, in a lot of places, over the past couple of decades, a re-emphasis on the faith aspect that infuses the not just in the religion class part of school, but in everything.
Right. Well, it's, you know, I agree with that. And that's kind of why I asked that question, because, you know, there in recent years, let's say in the last decade or so, you hear more and more stories of Catholic schools that are becoming controversial, quote unquote, because there might, you know, a particular school might have a teacher who's in a same-sex marriage. And got, you know, when it became public, this teacher was removed from her work. She was fired. She was, you know, her contract wasn't renewed, however you want to phrase it. Issues of, you know, Catholic schools doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is teaching the faith, especially those areas that are controversial. And then other Catholic schools that aren't doing that. And it is important, I think, that our Catholic schools be one that they live the faith joyfully. You know, the kids should come to school and realize that being Catholic is something that's good and it's important and it's something we should desire, but also not shying away from those issues that are going to come up, whether it is, you know, elementary level, high school level, college level. And that's the bigger difficulty there. To take these issues and to be proud of being Catholic. You know,
yeah, I agree. And in our archdiocese, our archbishop is very interested in making sure all the teachers have been catechized. And we have this program called School of Faith. And it's 8 sessions a year. It's a half a day. And we work through the catechism. And right now we're doing the Ten Commandments. So,
nice.
So it's because not everybody was raised Catholic. Some converted later, and so making sure we're all understanding what the Church teaches and bringing that up.
Sure. Barb, I that actually raises a question for you. So, what's the difference between becoming a public school teacher and becoming a Catholic school teacher? Is there a qualification difference? Is it a training difference? Or is it just you coming out of the same education schools?
Right. We all have the same background. There's no special certificate or anything. In some schools, if you are teaching religion, you have to be Catholic. But there are some teachers that aren't Catholic that teach at Catholic schools that share the Catholic ideals.
Mm-hmm. And they know they have to teach the Catholic faith. You know, that's the thing. Yeah.
Right. They can't be negative or dismissive. So if you hire a math teacher that's not Catholic, if, you know, a small town that doesn't have the ability to find a math teacher, they know that they can't be dismissive of the Catholic faith in class, but they always make sure the religion teacher is Catholic.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good to know. I think most Catholic schools are very good at that, at saying, you know, you're not expecting you to be perfect, because none of us are.
Right.
But we are expecting you to at least, yeah, not denigrate. Might be even, you know, it seems kind of a low bar sometimes, but I mean, that's a good way to, you know, to think about it is, you know, okay, you might have opposition to the Catholic, to elements of the Catholic faith, but at least while you're here and publicly, you can't, mm-hmm. you know.
And that's one thing that Catholic teachers I've noticed are very professional about. I will run that chat on Twitter for Catholic school teachers called Catholic Ed Chat, and we are celebrating our 6th year of meeting every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Wow. Central Time. And I had a friend direct message me. He, not a teacher, just was observing, and he messaged me and he said, "I am so impressed with the professionalism and the innovation that I'm seeing out of Catholic schools. It's not your old Catholic schools anymore." Right. And, you know, just today we had a chat on the STEM program. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And in the Catholic schools, we add an extra 2 letters. We it's called STREAM, because we add religion and art. And just here in our school, we developed a monarch butterfly garden and did so many different projects. And we talked about the Pope Francis with his what's the Latin name for his taking care of the earth?
Blanked on it.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say Evangelii Nuntiandi. No, that's not it. Evangelii Nuntiandi. No, that's not it.
Taking care of the earth.
Was that Laudato Si?
Yes.
Actually,
okay.
It's not Latin. That's Italian, I think it is.
All these Catholic geeks can't think of it. But we incorporated that in our butterfly garden and in the art. And so our Catholic schools, they're not your grandparents' Catholic schools anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. I just want to double check.
Because
I want to make sure I do know what STEM or STREAM means. So science, technology, religion, the E is engineering?
Yes.
Okay. Arts and math.
Math.
Yes.
Good. I was just going to just ask that, you know, just for those who might not know.
Yeah. Like me, I wanted to make sure.
Exactly.
You got it.
Exactly. You know, it is funny you bring up, you know, the old school Catholic schools, because of course everybody's got that image of the nun in the big habit.
Don't do that. I taught with a nun, and if anyone mentioned that with the ruler, she would get tears in her eyes, and I don't blame her.
Yeah. I know.
Nuns, they had 60 kids in a class, and they were 21 years old, fresh out of high school and or college.
Right. Well, and we had a Catholic school here. The building's still there. It's actually used now by a Boys and Girls Club. They lease the building, you know, $1 a year or whatever, you know, we don't charge them anything for the building. And there are people who talk about the nuns that were here, the religious sisters that were here years ago. And yeah, there's one or two that they fit the stereotype. It's, oh, you didn't, you know, mess with sister so-and-so because she would, you know, she was quick with the paddle, or, you know, she would yell at you down the hall or whatever. Yeah. But those were the stereotypes.
But of
then
course,
you dig deeper and you find, oh, yes, there was this sister. Oh, she was just a sweetheart. She would bend over backwards to help you. And this sister, she'd be out on the playground, and this sister doing that, and this sister doing this. And most of them were very loving, very dedicated teachers. They loved our Lord. They loved serving the kids. They loved serving the parish, and they would do anything for the kids, do anything for the school. But it always stands out. Sister, I think Griswolda or something like that was the name of one of them. That was just brutal. But again, they're different, you know, different people, different styles. But everybody remembers. And oh, by the way, you look at public school back then. Guess what? These lay women teachers, they did the same thing.
Well, there was corporal punishment in public schools too. Right. That's the thing is, that the stereotype forgets. You're right, Barb. I think a lot of these young women were very dedicated and thrown into difficult situations often. 60 kids. Yeah, that's not an exaggeration.
And in my school, they had 45 kids in a classroom. And today, though, I have 32. Well, today I have 31, but our mm-hmm. our limit is 32. So the idea that a Catholic school has small classes isn't always true.
Right. And public school classes, you hear of some that are getting upwards of 60. In some public schools, you know, so this isn't a situation that has really changed that much over the years. And you made kind of a point, too, is a lot of these religious sisters, they didn't have education degrees. They didn't go for post high school bachelors and masters and not for a while. I mean, eventually they did start doing that. And mm-hmm. that's a wonderful thing. But a lot of them, they'd graduate from high school, they'd go into the convent, they'd spend a year or two in the convent, getting through their vows and all that and doing their novitiate and all that. And then, now you're going to go out to, this little school out in the middle of nowhere and there's three other sisters and you teach third, fourth, and fifth grade. Have fun,
Right. thrown into the deep end.
So, yep. I think there is a push now with Catholic schools, rightfully so, to have a higher level, both of education on the part of the teachers and professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I belong to an organization called NCEA, mm-hmm. National Catholic Education Association, and they provide great resources. They have webinars, conferences. I've been to their conference several times. I've even presented at the conference, and made a lot of great friends and a lot of connections. And having a Catholic school, many times you only have one partner, one other, like I have a third grade partner, or some mm-hmm. schools are small and there's no partner. So making those connections through Twitter or through conventions, so many people are doing that. It's great.
And actually, that's a good, you mentioned the Catholic Ed Chat. And I was amazed when I first heard of it because I've said here on this podcast, I really consider Twitter to be a wasteland. I mean, it's so hard to find anything. It's so stream of consciousness. The fact that you can do that, first of all, what was the impetus that brought about this Twitter Catholic Ed Chat? And of course, it's hashtag Catholic Ed Chat.
Yes. Well, my friend Nancy Caramonico in Pennsylvania and Nick Sanger in Washington State, we were Twitter friends, and actually Nick Sanger was a Father Roderick buddy too.
Yep.
So yeah, that's how we found him. So he found me, and we were just talking one day, and tweeting back and forth one day, and we said we are noticing that states are having education chats, and grade levels are having Catholic education or having chats, education chats. And so we thought we would just get together and do one. And the only time that really was available was Saturday morning for all three of us. And it's been really good. So many different topics. Of course, we do Advent, Lent, mm-hmm. And we have topics like resources for that. But we do talk about anything that any other school teacher uses. I was looking at a few stats, and last month there was almost 900 messages for a chat, and people can research and look at what the chats were by using mm-hmm. that hashtag. But we average 100 monthly participants, and it, of course, depends on what our chat is. So Twitter making it focused is really good.
Yeah.
It's not a waste of time. And I also have a Twitter account for my classroom, Room 113 SMM for St. Margaret Mary. And it gives my parents a look into what our day is. Just Thursday, Father Toby came, and he brought the holy water. And he had, what's the fancy name for the sprinkler?
Aspergillum?
Yes. So
you got that.
I passed.
I know. I got that name, and I was off.
Yeah.
And so he brought it, and I just took a really quick picture of that, and he came to bless the twine rosaries I had made for my students, which I learned from Rosary Army.
Very good. Our friends.
Yes. So, we had a field trip yesterday. I took a couple pictures of the kids on the bus, so the families can see, what our field trip was like. So, it's a great way to connect. And also, if I don't tell the good news of my classroom, who else is going to tell the news? Right. I want to get ahead of a story, you know, not necessarily a story, but I just want to share out the good things so people can say, hey, look what's going on in this classroom.
So that's awesome.
On Catholic Ed Chat, I'm kind of curious, like, so what kinds of things do you chat about? I mean, even like from today, for example, what kinds of things did you all talk about this morning?
Well, usually Friday night I put out the questions, and one, let's see, let me pull that up. The week before we talked about leadership, and that was a really good chat. Yeah, just what is a leader look like? What is a school? What do you see? How do you encourage leaders? Today's chat, we had, how do you promote a climate of innovation and risk-taking in your classroom and school? And my friend Julie, she had a really great idea. She has, and we also share a lot of pictures. She has a section in her wall that says, not yet. And then as the year goes on, the kids put up failures in their different projects. So they're realizing that it takes time. And I thought that was a great idea because we have a lot of failures, but we try. We keep on going.
I think that's a great idea because I think it's we don't do enough to kind of celebrate attempts in our we celebrate success, but you don't get success. Like, I think a lot of kids don't realize that success comes after many failures, many attempts to accomplish things. They see, like, for example, like there are these like the People Are Awesome videos on online, like on YouTube and Facebook, where you see these people doing these amazing tricks, you know, whether it's like skateboards or whatever, parkour. And what they don't see is the 75 times that they didn't make the trick and they fell down and bashed their feet or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why I show my kids the fail videos too, to make sure that they realize it.
Have you heard failure is first attempt in learning?
Excellent.
Fail.
Yes.
Exactly.
We use that.
I love that.
I was just looking at your Room 113 Twitter feed, and I see you just read Blessed Stanley Rosa.
Yes.
Of course, we had Maria and Steve on a couple of weeks ago talking about that. Great. I mean, just such a great, great topic. So it's nice that you can do that where you can show people. Oh, nice. That's awesome.
I bought the book.
That's awesome.
It is a fantastic book.
Yeah.
And also reading this the same week that St. Oscar Romero
was
canonized, and we made the connection with that. See, using the Catholic faith to make connections, that's something we encourage in reading class.
Wonderful.
Here, I found some of my past topics. Google is always a big topic because using Google Classroom, making Google accounts. We also had, this is another big topic. It's called Teach Like a Pirate. And it's this whole movement where you're just stepping outside of, you know, your comfort zone and doing something innovative. And two of our members are going to next Saturday talk about balance like a pirate. So how to keep yourself balanced. So, we've got reading empathy coming up. Of course, Advent. All sorts of varied topics. And you don't have to necessarily be a Catholic school teacher. You can also lurk, which is just follow the hashtag and learn along with us.
Yeah, as I was kind of scrolling through through it, I was saying, wow, this is sort of some stuff like I can just apply to, you know, as a parent with my kids, I can apply some of this information with them. I mean, I really very impressive to see.
Thank you very much. It's a team effort.
Yeah. Now, does this qualify as professional development work? Because teachers, like other professions, have to do ongoing professional development, right?
Well, that's where Catholic schools don't necessarily require that.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And so the state may require it. But me, personally, I love to learn. And so many of the other people that are on here just love learning and, you know, improving your profession. You've got to do that. You can't say I'm afraid of computers. You know, you have to jump right in and try. And I also love an activity called Ed Camp. Mm-hmm. And that is a free morning, you know, like a Saturday morning. And you go and you meet with 50 to 100 other teachers that are excited and want to learn. And you make up what you're going to learn that day. So you say, if you want to talk Google, go in this classroom. You want to talk Twitter, go in that classroom. And I've just learned so much from that, made a lot of connections and made new Twitter friends.
Well, that's, you know, kind of, you know, talking about the use of technology, you know, of course, you've been teaching for a while. How has technology changed how you teach and what you teach?
It's awesome. Thinking back to my first years, and I would buy the magazine. It was called Mailbox, and they would have teaching ideas, and you could take a copy a worksheet on the Rizzo, and or what was the blue ink stuff? I can't remember what
Mimeograph.
The blue Mimeograph. Oh, yeah.
I can still smell the ink on that.
Yes, and they were warm, and So now we take it. Many of our schools are doing blended learning. So a child would have an iPad and the teacher would be tracking what they already know and assign work that is ahead of them, or, you know, what, and the teacher works alongside with them. They check in with them. I've seen that very successfully done in math. I've seen the flipped classroom where the teacher will have how to do a problem, and then when, and they watch it the night before. And so many schools are really good about making sure families have Wi-Fi. A Catholic school in Indianapolis, Indiana, they work one-on-one with these families to make sure they have the equipment and the Wi-Fi. And then the kids watch the video at night. The next day is the day the teacher can walk around and work with the child. I've seen it in history classes. The kids watch the video, and then the next day is a awesome, engaging discussion. It's really cool how what they can do. And I can show a video quickly. And my husband teaches in a small community. He said, you know, 30 years ago, if I had the internet, what I could have done. And it's like, right. No, don't talk about that. Just say, thank God I have this and I can teach this way.
Well, it's, I think, it is incredible because, you know, you're describing is not the experience I think we had as students, especially, right. You know, in elementary school.
Right.
It was the teacher taught you the lesson and then you did it.
They call it the sage on the stage.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and it's kind of funny, though. I'm sorry. I'm probably going to make you feel a little bit older, but, you know, 30 years ago, I was in school. I was in elementary school,
to
be specific.
Yeah, old Lady Gilman right here.
Yeah, you know, but I can remember in, you know, elementary school, we thought it was a great deal because they had the Apple II on a cart.
Yes.
Of course, you know, Dom would recognize that the Apple II, was it the C, the small compact one? That
oh,
was
I had
like
one
the
of those.
One unit, you know.
Yeah, the Apple IIc.
That
I
was
love
the,
that
know,
computer.
Geek note, but they had that with, you know, it was brand new school, so it was a brand new computer, and it got wheeled into our classroom for about 2 weeks, and you could play Oregon Trail on it, and it was so cool.
You have died of dysentery.
Yes, exactly. I think I won it twice during that year, but you know, but that was education. And then that was
and we got educated. That's the thing.
You absolutely did. You absolutely did.
You know, but that was computer education. And then as I moved along, I saw more and more computers starting to come in. Again, this is late 80s, early 90s, to the point where, you know, before I graduated from high school, they had an IBM PC network.
Right. You know,
it still was on the internet yet, but it was still a network.
We have to prepare our students for careers that were not around 10, 20, of course, 30 years ago.
Right.
But one of the big things is they call it the four C's of 21st century learning. And I have to teach and get my students prepared for communication, collaboration, critical thinking, and creativity.
Right.
And so that's, you had that creativity part, eh?
Yeah. Well, we definitely need the critical. I was laughing at the critical thinking because there's not a lot of critical thinking in our politics today, it seems like. Sorry.
Or just in
political
general.
Opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, one of the things I was talking to my wife about this morning, actually, it happened to be we were in the car, and we were talking about we see lots of conversations, especially online, you know, people talking about the news of the day or issues of the day. And one of the things that, you know, is people don't often have, like, for example, basic economics education. They don't understand, like, just how complex systems work and sort of basic ideas like that. And I was saying, like, it would be great if the, you know, I don't want to necessarily blame teachers because parents have responsibilities for educating their kids too. But it'd be great if more Americans, just put it that way, understood these things at an earlier age, like basic economic concepts like opportunity cost or basic civic concepts about, or even just the basic critical thinking ideas like everything is more complicated with more complicated solutions than you think. You know, like unintended consequences for that actions take. And it's nice to see, like, hear that there are teachers out there who want to teach critical thinking and creativity and communication skills, because honestly, though, I see those are very much lacking in general. So it's really great to hear that.
And that's true. And then we also have an opportunity to include our faith in all these conversations.
Right.
And that is so important to do that.
What do you, you know, of course, you're at a Catholic school that's associated with a parish, correct? Mm-hmm. What do you see what do you see the parish involvement in the Catholic school? You talk about bringing in the Catholic faith.
Well, we go to Mass together. We walk up the hill to the church. we encourage our parishioners to serve lunch. Is that the kind of thing you're looking for?
Parishioners, the staff of the parish, the priest. You know, you mentioned your priest coming down and you know, being with the kids and spending time with them and teaching them, you know, things like that. I mean, you see stuff like that happening a lot in your parish.
Well, we do have, you know, like the pancake feed and Knights of Columbus. So, religious ed is takes place in the school. So we all recognize that it's a parish property. We have a very close, our religious ed director works with them and with us. So when we plan masses, she helps us with that. It's a very close tie, and I am so grateful for that.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah, it's like I said, you know, my first assignment, we had a Catholic school, and that was one of the big changes. The previous pastor that was there before that, the pastor I served under got there, his predecessor, had really didn't support the Catholic school. He wasn't opposed to it. He just didn't support it. And I got to see the difference between how the school struggling because it didn't have the support of the pastor and the school thriving because it did have the support of the pastor.
Wow. And for years, our school was a tithing school and the tuition was very low because parents tithed 10%. And the neighbor, it was great. And the whole Archdiocese of Wichita, Kansas is that way.
Right.
And that's awesome.
Explain what that is for a second? What does it mean by a tithing school?
Meaning that families only had to pay for the book fee, which was like, you know, $500, you know, for that. Mm-hmm. And then they gave 10% of their income to the parish. And so we were able to support our school. We have 500 kids. And the demographics started changing, and it was just getting too hard to do that. So now we encourage the tithing, of course, but now we charge, and it's $2,000, which is still a bargain.
It's still pretty cheap, actually.
Pretty cheap, yeah.
It's less than it probably costs, actually, to educate the children.
Yeah. That's where the parish helps pick up the difference. Mm-hmm. And then the Archdiocese, I believe, gives grants.
Right.
Sure.
I think in New Jersey, which I think is the highest, their per capita student spending in the public schools is, I think, like $16,000 to $18,000 a year.
Yeah.
I mean, Catholic schools are a bargain compared to almost any other system. What accounts for that? I mean, with the true cost of Catholic education is generally lower. Do you have a sense of why it is that Catholic schools are more efficient?
Well, we are smaller with a smaller base. So my principal can make a decision. We do work together with like buying big purchases, but what works for us is what we can do. We also, if you have good on one side paper, donate it to any of your Catholic schools. We use that. Paper is really expensive. Yes. And so we do little things like that. We have lots of volunteers. We take advantage of, you know, anything free. So I think that's it. You know, and I also our salaries are a little lower, but I also have a really great rapport with parents and very supportive parents. And, you know, I truly, you know, I have plenty to live on, but having more money and working at a school that would be just a little more stressful for me with not having supportive parents is not worth it.
Right.
So.
One thing you mentioned about the demographics of your school, what would you say is the makeup of your student population?
Well, originally it was it's middle class, and a lot of the parents are professionals, doctors, lawyers, architects. But we do have a lot of diversity. We accept children that aren't Catholic.
Right.
And and that was something that Catholic schools didn't always do. Mm-hmm. And the children learn right along with us. This year is really cool. I have a lot of parents that were born in other countries. And it's so exciting that way, because one thing I've always loved to do, we Skype with family members from other countries, because in third grade social studies, we learn about culture. So I have a student who is going to go visit his relatives in Australia next month. And and we were trying to figure out how we can do the Skype call, and we realized that's going to be a little too hard to time zones. But
it'll be the middle of the night.
and we have a lot of educators. Last year we had someone who Skyped with us from Italy. He was over there for an education conference. A religion conference. So,
nice.
We have a really broad range of families.
Have you ever got Father Roderick on with the kids from the Netherlands?
We have tweeted with him.
Oh, awesome.
And nice. Yes, and we always love all his Lego videos. And, so he's a big, we're a big fan. Awesome. And using our Twitter account, we've asked questions of people like Dr. Paul Camerata helped us with one question. Mountain answered a question for us about the True Cross relics. Mountain, we were talking about that.
Yeah. Mountain Butorac, the Catholic traveler.
Yes.
In Rome. Yep.
Yeah, excellent. So we're able to reach out thanks to my network with SQPN.
That's right.
Yes. Actually, it's a good place, I think, to take a break and to promote SQPN a little bit.
Yes.
And I'll pass the baton over to Dom to talk about it.
Yeah, so I just wanted to take a couple of minutes to kind of talk about where SQPN, any longtime listeners know, we are a nonprofit organization that explores the intersection of faith and pop culture. From a Catholic perspective, our goal is to lead people to Christ, which is right in the name. We are the StarQuest production network. The star of that StarQuest is the Star of Bethlehem, and the quest is the quest of the Magi on their way to Bethlehem to find Christ. And so our idea is you know, our mission is, you know, we look at culture, the pop culture around us, and we want to talk about it, but we talk about it from a particular perspective. Without necessarily bashing over the head with the Catholicism, we appreciate culture around us, and we appreciate movies and TV shows, and that's why we have shows like Secrets of Doctor Who and Secrets of Movies and TV and Secrets of Star Trek. And we like to gather together in community, which is why we have shows like Let's Talk. And so we are a nonprofit, so we rely on the gifts of listeners like you who support us, have historically supported us over a decade, and we so greatly appreciate that. We have not done a giving campaign in a couple of years. We have not asked, and so we've been kind of living off of the resources that people have given us in the past. Earlier this year, the board of SQPN made a decision to really invest in the future, to grow the network again, to expand our reach and to fulfill our mission. Basically, instead of limping along with, you know, one or two podcasts that we could produce in our spare time, they made a decision that they were going to hire a full-time person to be producer, engineer, host, and chief cook and bottle washer to run everything. Because in order to have the number of podcasts that we do, and the more that are coming, and I can talk about that in just a sec, that's a full-time job. And to, you know, close the circle, they hired me to do that. And let me tell you, it is a full-time job. I spend a full week plus some hosting shows, organizing shows, organizing guests, editing shows, promoting the shows online, connecting with listeners, which is one of my favorite parts of the job, is to connect with the listeners online and to talk with them and to hear their stories. And the thing is without the resources so generously given by our listeners, we wouldn't be able to do this. And frankly, we would go away. I mean, I'm not sure how much we could possibly do, but it certainly wouldn't, we wouldn't have the shows we have. I mean, in the past 6 months, we have revived shows like Let's Talk and Secrets of Star Trek. And we've created new shows like StarQuest Headlines, which is our daily headline show. And our most successful new show is Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World. People are loving that. We really get a huge response to it. I love doing it with Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's a walking encyclopedia and has such a great way of, he's a teacher in many ways, where he just can explain topics in complex subjects in ways that are so approachable. Such a lot of fun. We actually just got done recording a whole bunch of episodes for November yesterday, which are just going to be really cool stuff. We're talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls. We already talked about this. We're talking about the fall of Jerusalem and the mysteries surrounding the prophecies surrounding the fall. We are talking about the assassination of JFK, the anniversary that's coming up. We talked about the lost tribes of Israel. Where do they go? Are they coming back? So much fun. We've talked about, you know, ghosts and the pyramids of Egypt and all like the mysteries surrounding these things. So such a lot of fun, but we can only do these things because it takes so much work to produce them with your support. So if you could go to sqpn.com/give and click on the become a Patreon supporter button and become us a monthly supporter, that would be one way to help ensure that we're continuing our mission. And if you do that, we actually have several gifts that we've put together for those of you who make this gift to us that are related to different shows you may like. So we have gifts related to Star Trek, Secrets of Star Trek, gifts related to Secrets of Doctor Who, and gifts related to Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World. And you can select from among them based on your giving level and that sort of stuff. You can go check it out. It's sqpn.com/give. We really need to hear from folks. As soon as you can, pause the podcast right now and go right to sqpn.com/give and do what you can. We really greatly appreciate it. We love doing this for you, but I also have a responsibility to my family. I can't do this job without a salary. And so I would have to go get a different job, and SQPN would probably go back into its old caretaker state, without having someone to do this job. What we want is not just to maintain, we're looking to grow, and we get some great new shows that we're developing right now to add to the ones we've already got. So sqpn.com/give.
Yeah. Very much a great, program we've got going on with this. And if you want to find out more about our giving campaign, go listen to last week's episode of Let's Talk, episode 21. We had an episode on that just to describe what we're doing and why we're doing it. We spent an hour talking about it, and it's something good. So not all of us are being paid. Very few of us are being paid, but we enjoy doing it because we believe in the mission of SQPN. So please do help us with that. So Barb, getting back to Catholic education, Have you thought about what the future is going to be for Catholic education? And if so, what does that look like?
Well, gosh, that's a tough
it's a big question.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I think there may be smaller. I hate seeing when schools close, but there are schools that are opening. I think they'll just be hopefully more dedicated people that believe in Catholic schools, people that are connecting with other schools and ideas to make them innovative, using the help of the NCEA and just to make it stronger. So I believe in the mission. So I hope it stays on.
Well, that's very good. Go ahead.
Certainly, with tools like Catholic Ed Chat and other technology tools, that helps. I think that must be part of the ways that teachers are doing more with less or with what they have, being able to do more. It sounds
like that's true. Yeah,
and I hope that's something we could do here at SQPN with something like Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, where you can send the kids a link to one of his podcast episodes and say, "Hey, listen to this for more information," or something like that.
Yeah, there's several, we'll just add the Catholic Ed Chat hashtag to it, and people will discover it that way. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. See how innovative you are.
There you go.
My kids have been listening. My wife doesn't listen to podcasts, except she listens to that one, which is funny since my job is podcasts, but she listens to Jimmy. And my kids listen in because she listens like when she's making dinner, and the kids listen in too. And I've had my 8-year-old come up and say, "Oh, Daddy, the one about pyramids was so cool." And it's like, wow. I mean, it's part of their education is, using these different tools that supplement what they get otherwise. That's actually a great idea, Father Corey, to kind of develop these also as educational tools that people can use.
Right. Because I think that is something that, some of the public schools I've been starting to kind of hear that they're trying to look at these other resources to help, make it easier for the teacher, help the kids learn more.
Well, and it's also taking where the children is interested. They call it passion project, or they call it the genius hour. And you probably heard that didn't Google do that, where you have to spend 10% of your time on something you find interesting? Classrooms are bringing them into, our schools are bringing them into their classroom. The children have an hour to research and study and to learn, and then they give a presentation. I've seen the presentation are like the TED Talk presentations.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Nice. So, and that's, with the reading and learning, you want them to be excited or else, you lose them.
A teacher who inculcates in their student this desire for learning, the passion for a particular topic. From a personal story, very briefly, when I was in high school, I was huge into anything J.R.R. Tolkien. I read Lord of the Rings like 15 times. I read The Silmarillion. I read everything, and I loved reading just in general. And my teachers were so great that, even though when I was taking, American, literature class, I would say, "Could I do a my paper, like whatever paper on Tolkien?" And because they recognized in me a passion for the subject, they said yes, because what I'm interested in is inculcating you a passion for reading and in literature. So yes, and that sort of interest by a teacher, that sort of flexibility. And desire to do that. I love that. Whatever time, whatever stage, that's such a great idea what did you call it? The genius hour?
Yeah. Or else the passion project.
Passion project.
They
right.
call
I
it
love that
too.
Idea.
Yeah.
Idea.
And, because if you're not connected, you don't remember it.
Right.
And
yeah.
So that's the way you can get a child interested. And, I always loved that. Well, I raised boys, so we always had a lot of, Star Wars, of course, but they always had so many little facts and things. And I just filled the house with all sorts of books that were nonfiction for them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very good. Well, excellent. Is there anything else you would like to share about Catholic education or technology in education?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I'd like to encourage people, if there is a Catholic school near you and you are desiring to send your child there, please talk to the principal and the pastor. And there is a way. I really think some families just immediately say, it's too expensive, can't do it. You know, something can work out. And we really want to reach and work with all children. You know, I want my children to know the faith, or, you know, my students and to work with them with getting the best possible education. And I just really encourage families to look into that, and hopefully it will work for them.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, this good place to kind of wrap up the conversation and move on to our picks of the week. She's got her pick right there.
I'm ready.
Well, let's let you go for it then.
All right. I'm not like Captain Jeff, where he's thinking about
as the episode's going on, he's trying to figure out
what am I going to do? Sorry, Captain Jeff, I'm throwing him under the bus. So, see, I'm a longtime listener. So this is called Dearest Children. And of course, it's got to be a book. It's the story of Father Edward Flanagan, who founded Boys Town.
Oh, interesting.
And, yeah, here in the Omaha area. And it's a beautiful picture book. It shows the pictures and quotes of Father Flanagan. He wrote letters, and he always started with "Dearest Children" to his students, and his message of, you know, there's no such thing as a bad boy, and or a bad girl nowadays, but just giving children an opportunity, giving them a chance. The author and illustrator is Eli Hernandez, and he is a parent at my school, and he did so much research. He looked for photographs from Father Flanagan, and then he painted them, and and just found the best quotes. And it's just a very dear story, his childhood and, you know, his life. I loved it so much, and I wanted to share it because picture books are expensive. I did this activity last year. We called it hashtag Saint Book Trek. And I passed this book on to 8 different Catholic school teachers, and they read it to their classrooms. And so this message, because he's on his path to sainthood, he's been venerable.
Venerable.
And so, you know, they're doing the work to get everything together for him. And it was just great to share this idea of passing on a saint book. So I'm doing it again this year.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
And we're sending Blessed Stanley Rother's book around.
Nice.
So, because I just love sharing the stories of, and I love the title from Blessed Stanley Rother's, it's An Extraordinary, Ordinary Life.
Nice.
So that's just beautiful how, you know, we could all become saints. After we read this, I said to the students, I said, you could be Saint Lena of Omaha or Saint Matthew of Omaha. And I said, I could be Saint Barbara of Nebraska.
Yep.
So that's my pick.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I had the opportunity probably 12, 13 years ago. I was still a seminarian when I did this, to go to visit Omaha and visit a friend who was at the IPF program, the Institute for Priestly Formation program there.
Yes.
And went and did the tour at Boys Town. And very, very interesting tour. Very, very interesting place, you know, to see what they can do there. So and get to learn a little story about the priest that founded it. So that's fantastic.
That's awesome.
What you got for a pick, Dom?
All right, my pick is going to be in the spirit of Halloween. I am picking Trappistine Quality Candy. Trappistine Quality Candy is a product from this monastery of Trappist Benedictine nuns here in the Massachusetts area, in the Boston area, at Mount St. Mary's Abbey. And they, for one thing, these sisters are amazing. One of my friends, a former colleague that I worked with at the Archdiocese of Boston, she entered the monastery a few years ago, Sister Carla. But the sisters, who are, again, amazing sisters, they make this They make this amazing candy, Panucci and fudge, and there's something called Butternut Munch, which is drives me insane when I get it, and I can't buy it because I will eat it all, and I'm not, my doctor says don't, and so I. But it's just it's amazing, and so if you go to their website, TrappistineCandy.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes, you're gonna buy some amazing candy, and you're gonna be supporting an amazing group of very prayerful, very amazing, beautiful sisters who are in the cloister. And if you're ever in the south of Boston area, to be sure to go by the monastery and visit and pray there and go to their shop. And it's just down the street from this great apple orchard. So if you come in the fall, you can see some foliage, pick some apples, and then go down the street and get some candy from the sisters. But
I thought you were going to say Apple Store.
Yeah, well, there is sort of an Apple Store on the way there if you're coming out of Boston. So yes, so definitely go to TrappistineCandy.com and check them out and watch the video. If you see this, they have a video there. Watch the video about how they make it, and the sister who's in the picture that starts the video. What do they call it? The placeholder picture. That's my friend, Sister Carla. So go check it out. That's my pick.
Awesome. Awesome. My pick is a book as well. It's not a picture book, though. This is actually geared more towards high school age. It's from Word Among Us Press, written by Joel Stepanek. And sorry, Joel, if I mispronounce your name, if you happen to listen to it. But he works for Life Teen. And it's part of a series edited by Mark Hart, who, of course, the Bible geek, who is, big. What is his title? Executive Vice President for Life Teen. So they're both involved with Life Teen. And the particular book that I've picked is Getting More Out of Confession. And it's part, like I said, it's part of a series, the Something More Faith series. It's really well written little book. It's not big at all. I mean, it's 40 pages total, little pamphlet, not hard, soft cover, not very hard to read. Like I said, very high school age. But it describes the importance of confession, why confession is so important. What do we need to do to prepare for confession? What do we need to do to have a good confession? What do we need to make sure we don't need to go to confession as often? Things like that. So I think it's very much worth. It's something that it's been sent out to a lot of parishes. It's something that they can purchase and make available to their kids. And I think I'm going to do that with ours talk with my religious ed director, who, by the way, I know is listening. So here's a hint of a book I want to make sure we get ordered. it's a great little pamphlet. I want to check out some of the other books in the series as well, because I think there's some good stuff there, again, geared at the high school age, where high school is that crucial age that we have to get the kids. Mm-hmm. If we're not answering their questions in high school, we lose them. And I think that, my opinion, that's why we have so many that they leave high school and they don't darken the doors of the church until maybe marriage, maybe right. baptism, if even that anymore. Many of the yeah. nones, the N-O-N-E-S, that's where we lose them.
Yeah.
Is high school age. So that's why I picked this book. And this is something I think it's very much worth letting high schoolers and even adults, it's not to say adults can't learn from this, because I guarantee you will. So that's my pick as well. Getting More Out of Confession. Well, Barb, thank you very much for coming on. This was enjoyable. It was great. Great to finally meet you, by the way. I mentioned before, we had talked many times over online through Twitter and Facebook and all these other social media, but we'd never actually talked face to face. So it was great to visit with you. If people want to hear more from you and see what your kids are doing, where can they find you?
Well, I'm Barb in Nebraska on Twitter and Instagram. My classroom is room 113 SMM, and our butterfly garden is also on Twitter, and it's Monarch Meadow. Mm. And my blog, I need to update it, but it's barbinebraska.com.
I think we all have blogs like that, so no
yeah.
fear. How about you, Don? Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me all over sqpn.com, pretty much every podcast, practically. Mm-hmm. But if you want to find me on social media or my blog, it's betnet.com, BETTNET.com.
Excellent. And again, I'm Father Corey Stika. You can find me, of course, here at Let's Talk and a couple other podcasts, Secrets of Doctor Who, Secrets of Star Trek, here on SQPN. You can find my website is frcorey.org, where I've got a blog where I post my homilies, at least. But other than that, it's not much going on. But you can find my homilies there. You can find me on Facebook at Father Corey Stika. And of course, once again, I want to encourage you to send feedback at letstalk@sqpn.com. Let us know what you think of this episode or any other episode of Let's Talk. We want to hear what you have to say about the topics that we have, because this really is a discussion. We want to have a discussion with you, our community. And finally, one more pitch. Please do go to sqpn.com/give and give to our giving campaign. Patreon is a great way for us to reach out to you, and it's a great way for you can support us as well on a weekly or monthly basis. So please do, once again, go to sqpn.com/give. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
This is Don Bettinelli again. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast and that you'll help us keep producing the podcast you love. Thank you for your generosity. To make your pledge and find out about the free thank you gifts we'd like to send you, visit sqpn.com/give. That's sqpn.com/give.